Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, I'm in my mid-30s and I haven't had a boyfriend since I was 21. Not me, our next guest. I've been going on dates the entire time, observing the many seismic shifts in dating culture. Here are 15 things I've learned from 15 years of singlehood. So wrote Rachel Thompson in The Guardian recently, and she joins us on the line right now. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, your article had us all talking in the newsroom today. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And there's loads to talk about. But ultimately, this is an article that you've written, the things that you've learned from being single long term, I suppose, Rachel.
Exactly. Yeah. 15 years is a long time, especially, I think, spanning the, you know, 21 to age 36, which is my age now. I think it's such a formative period of time in one's youth. And, you know, I happen to be a sex and dating journalist. That's my day job. So it's been an interesting thing to observe, not only the shifts in my own personal life and the lessons that lots of different experiences have brought me, but also to witness kind of the seismic shifts that are happening, you know, daily in the world of dating apps and dating app culture. So there's just, yeah, I wanted to really make the piece uplifting, because for me, singlehood, it's not about feeling like I'm being left behind. I mean, I have been asked that by people. Do you feel like you're being left behind? Because of course, you know, people are settling down and having babies and getting married and all sorts. But for me, it's been just a really rich and empowering period of time to really get to know who I am and what I want and what I deserve.
Mm-hmm. And learn about yourself and society, I suppose. Let me ask you, first of all, why are you still single? You've answered that question and you've fielded many variations of that question over the past 15 years, I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's a question I've had many, many times. And, you know, whether it's the older relatives in my family being like, you know, oh, they just haven't made the man for you yet, Rachel, and get a good look at Rachel, because this will be the last time you ever see her holding a child. You know, some of those comments over the years have been quite cutting, you know.
That's hugely insulting, though.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, as someone who, you know, does also want a family, and last year I froze my eggs. I did two cycles of egg freezing because, you know, it is important to me. Mm. You know, I think there is an element of people sort of projecting their own views and feelings on, you know, how they think my life should have turned out. It's a hard question because it's something that I thought a great deal about when I was writing my book, which comes out later this week, The Love Fix. Why am I still single? And why are so many other people struggling with dating in this day and age? And the reality is that dating is harder than ever before. This is something I asked, you know, sociologists and psychologists and neuroscientists, and they all are in agreement that it's actually harder than ever before, which I think will bring some comfort perhaps to those who are in similar positions to me. I think also the main reason why I personally am still single is that I'm still looking for what I deserve, and I just haven't found it yet. And I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to sort of settle. And, you know, I think people in their mid-30s, you know, sometimes, and, you know, I've witnessed it in my own social circle, it's, you know, sometimes you see people panic and think, oh, this person will do. And it's not pleasant to see. And you know, sometimes those friendships end because, you know, it is too difficult to witness, you know. And so I've really had to grapple with the societal pressures too. I've sat on dates opposite, you know, people who don't ask me questions and, you know, who are like scrolling on their phone as I talk. And, you know, I've thought to myself, you know, will this guy do, you know, should I just try and make it work? And I don't want that for myself. I love myself more, you know, than that.
And you've more respect for yourself than that. Some of your questions that people have thrown at you are just making me smile here. Like things like, are you sure you're trying hard enough?
That is something that really infuriates me, because of course I'm trying hard enough. I'm trying as hard as I can, given all of the other pressures that I have in my life. You know, I've got a busy work life, you know, I've written two nonfiction books. So, you know, there's only a certain amount of swiping that a person can do before, you know, life gets in the way. And, you know, it can feel sometimes like a bit of a chore, actually. It can feel like a fruitless task, a thankless task. And you know, and I think our priorities shift. And as someone who, you know, after 15 years of being single, it is something that feels more like my default state. It's not something I've ever felt like I needed to fix. You know, I've woken up in the morning and thought, oh, another day of singlehood, must put an end to this urgently.
Call me Bridget Jones. Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. You know, I don't put on Celine Dion, you know, all by myself. It is actually like a really delicious thing to be, you know, to sort of relish the freedom that brings. And, you know, I have a really great life. And, you know, I think it makes sense to want to hold out for, you know, someone who makes that life, you know, better, or just, you know, so I don't have to compromise on all of the things that I like doing.
Yeah. And that's the other part that made me say that you have 15 points in this article, and it's yeah. funny and it's real and it's very heartfelt. Your
Thank
time
you.
Is your own. Your TV remote is your own. You can sleep like a starfish in your bed. I mean, I'm kind of getting a bit jealous.
I know. Do you want to, you can come move in with me.
We'll trade places, will we?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it was, I wrote about, and I feel bad for my lovely dad who got called out in this piece. And he didn't mind, thankfully. But yeah, I went home for Christmas, and, you know, I have a lovely, like, my parents are wonderful. They've been married for 40 years. And, you know, in many ways, I sort of look to their relationship and think that's the goal. That's the bar. You know, mm-hmm. they are best friends. They're best friends to each other. I will say my dad loves Midsommar Murders, Inspector Morse, every sort of detective thriller of the day. And it's on repeat all day long. And so it really made me appreciate, you know, having my... having control over the TV buttons in my own home, and just having like living life on my own terms, I suppose.
Of course. And watching complete drivel on the telly if you want to.
Exactly.
Or not doing the dishes if you don't want to.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I said in the piece, you know, don't judge me, because, you know, I sometimes just, sometimes I leave things in the sink, and I have no one sort of mithering in the background saying, you know, oh, this place is a state, because, you know, ultimately it's, I'm the only person who can judge myself in that situation.
Of course. But and deeper friendships as well is another point that you make as you embrace the journey.
Yeah. You know, I have surrounded myself with people who lift me up and celebrate the things that, you know, I go through in my life. And, you know, I was with a friend on Friday night, and she said, you know, because I've got this book launch on Thursday night, and she was like, she's, you know, she's got a newborn baby upstairs that's fast asleep. And she was like, I really want this to feel like, you know, we're celebrating you as if it's your wedding, as if it's, you know, a baby shower or something. This is just as important. And these are the milestones in your life that, you know, they're not any less valid just because perhaps society hasn't placed as much importance on them.
Of course.
And I found that just wonderful. And, you know, she's the very same friend, you know, when I started my egg freezing process last year, she offered to come round and, you know, help me with my injections that I had to do. And, you know, those are the really meaningful gestures that really have made me feel supported and sort of just, yeah, like I haven't felt the lack of love in my life. In fact, I have a very full, I feel so loved up sometimes I'm overwhelmed. It's like, there's no room in this life for anyone
for
else.
For anyone else.
Know?
It's all about me. Literally. It sounds glorious. Your guest is right
wonderful.
To be fussy, someone says, Rachel, in dating. So many of my spouse's friends are miserable because they've settled and now live miserable lives. The Love Fix is your new book. It's out this Thursday.
It is, yes. Available from all good bookstores.
And if it's anything like the article, I think it will be authentic and honest and fun and very real. So thank you very much for
Definitely.
Joining us, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
Take care. Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.